Psoriatic arthritis symptoms can be unpredictable.
I had joint pain, and I couldn't move like I used to.
I needed relief.
I got Cosentyx.
It helped me move better.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for people 2 years of age and older with active psoriatic arthritis. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your rheumatologist about Cosentyx.
Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, evolocumab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Mr. President.
Agent Collins, come on in.
When I became president, first thing I asked was about the secrets. Aliens. Who killed JFK.
Out of everyone in my detail, you're the only one I really trust. I'd like to talk to you about the future.
You're about to be entrusted with top secret national security information. Should you wish to proceed, you will be one of the few privy to this information at this stage. Do you wish to proceed?
You're going
to
want to hear this.
There you go. That's Paradise. The first four episodes of that are available on Disney Plus right now. New episodes arrive every Tuesday. Rory Cashin is with us to talk about it. I was going to say, Rory, that an American president, the first thing they ask wouldn't be who killed JFK. That beggars belief, but actually it doesn't. So we know there's a president in it.
We do. It's played by James Marsden. And the other guy you hear in that clip was Sterling K. Brown. And also you hear Juliet Nicholson. The three of them, fantastic performers. You've seen them all brilliant and other stuff. This is going to be particularly tricky to talk about because I'll be upfront. I got a text from a friend in America who was like, you need to watch the first episode of this new show, Paradise. I was like, okay, fair enough. So I just threw it on, not knowing anything, not even having seen the trailer. And the first few minutes I was like, okay, I think I know what this is. I think I know where this is going. Something happens 10 minutes in the very first episode. I was like, oh no, I was way off. Oh. And then something happens again the end of the first episode, which only proved even more I was completely wrong about this show. And then out of curiosity, I went back and watched the trailer that we just heard a clip from there. Trailer gives nothing away whatsoever. It seems like it's a straight ahead, what do you call them, the Secret Service. There's a bit of a mystery behind it. There's something to do with the president. Julian Nicholson is the tech billionaire who is kind of secretly pulling the puppet strings behind the power and the political everything that's going on in this country. But it doesn't give anything away. And I don't want to give anything away that the trailer didn't give away. So I will say go in and knowing as little as possible is the best way to watch this show.
Okay.
And it is one that, as you mentioned, the new episodes drop every Tuesday, and I religiously now on Tuesday will try to watch an episode of this either on my lunch from work or the second I finish work, because I don't want anything spoiled for me. It's up there with Severance in terms of digging in and wanting to take the details what people are saying? Is there a different inflection there? Does that mean something else entirely? It is a fantastic mystery at the core of this show. And that's all I feel I can safely say giving too much away.
But a bit, you know that detective thing Colin Farrell did? And I'm not going to give a Sugar. Sugar, yeah. Yes. And at the end of Sugar, and I won't give you spoilers, I just wanted to put my boot through the television when they revealed what was really going on. Does Paradise earn these twists?
So it was actually funny. I was discussing the comparison of Paradise and Sugar because Sugar all the way through was like, there's something up. And then when it pulls the rug, you're like, oh, that was what we were waiting for all this season. I think if in Sugar they had done what they did in this, which is kind of give the big reveal away near the start and then watch as everyone revolves around it, so we, the audience, know what's going on, but we're enjoying the people in the show slowly figuring out what's going on. That might have made Sugar a better show, and it might make season two of that show better.
A better show. Good point, yeah.
But in this case, no, because they do show their hand sort of early, that everything you think it's building up to, it's like, no, here's everything. Now you have to figure out how we got here.
Right, okay, yeah.
Which is brilliant because, again, you're going in to watch these fantastic... Sterling K. Brown is tremendous in this. He's one of the most underrated actors around. James Marsden's fantastic as this equally swarmy slash very charismatic US president. And, again, Juliet Nicholson, who was brilliant in... I don't know if you've seen Mayor of Easttown. She was Kate Winslet's sister in that.
Yeah,
she's fantastic in everything she does. She is so nuanced in this, and from scene to scene... You go from sympathetic to you're maybe the most evil person I've ever seen, which, you know, tech billionaires.
But yeah. Yes. Are there nods towards contemporary events at all?
There are. There's a lot of, again, as you mentioned, there's the conversation that the president alludes to saying, you know, the first thing I wanted to know was all the secrets that you, you know, are privy to when you become the president. And there is one big... there's one big issue that's at the core of this whole show that is very, very prescient.
Right, okay. People are listening to you now going,
I'm so sorry. I'm recommending this. Do dive in. And you'll know by the end of the first episode if you want to continue watching because, as I said, that twist, you're either on board for it or you're not, and I was fully on board for it.
Okay, right, fair enough. Right, okay, our next show is Hacks Season 3. All of the first three seasons are available now on Now TV. Here's a clip.
When push comes to shove, they don't want me taking any risks. Trust me.
I don't trust you. You're a liar.
Okay. I am sorry about that. You'll still be on the show. You'll just be the number two, which honestly, it's a lot less pressure. But you can still do all the work. You can be the woman behind the man behind the woman.
Oh my God, this is such... I'm the better person for the job. If you hire him, you'll just be making the same version of the same show that's existed for 50 years and it won't be special.
Right, that's Hacks Season 3. And if you have watched Hack, your life has been a total waste up until this point, would be my modest opinion.
So have you seen some of Season 3 already?
Yeah.
You've seen all of it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there was an issue with this where we got the first two seasons on Prime, and then Season 3 aired in the States in May last year. So we were like, oh, we'll get this any day now.
Yeah.
Delay. And we only got all of Season 3 Friday gone.
Yeah.
And when I tell you I binged it in one day, this show is... That clip doesn't do it justice, even though it does give across the fantastic central duo performances in it. It's so funny. You know this now.
Absolutely.
Legitimately, consistently one of the funniest shows I've ever seen. But it's held together by Jean Smart, who's Deborah Vance, who's this aging, Vegas comedian who was sort of semi-washed up and was just going through the motions. And she crosses paths with Ava Daniels, who's played by Hannah Einbender. And she is a very young, up-and-coming comedy writer who was cancelled almost immediately early in her career. So it's these two women, opposite ends, but both in a state of what happens next.
Mm.
And they help each other further each other along. But, again, they're not necessarily good for each other. There's a very toxic relationship between them that they still are kind of trying their best to work out. And this season, we find out more about Jean Smart's character, who it's been her lifelong dream to host a late night show in the States. So,
which I think was referred to in previous seasons. So there's nice kind of curve there.
Because it was essentially the reason why, not to like get too blunt about it, but why she's a little bit broken is because she had this dream and it was taken away from her simply because she was a woman. And now that she's a woman of age, people would perceive it even less likely that she is going to get this, you know, prestigious position of power. But this whole season is the run-up to her trying to get that gig when the person who used to have it is essentially stepping away from it.
Yeah.
And she rehires Hannah Einbender's character to help her zhuzh up her comedy skills and get her back in the spotlight in all the most positive ways possible. But invariably, it doesn't always go that way.
No, it doesn't go that way. But it is because it's completely believable that Ava still keeps going back for more, even though like they do these crappy things to each other, and even though it destroys her personal life in many respects. But that central relationship is, because it also has a lot of heart as well.
It does, and the two leading ladies really, really deliver it in so many ways, where there's so many conversations where Jean Smart's character will say something that is, you know, no longer PC, using words and language that you really shouldn't use anymore. But then on the opposite end of the scale, Hannah Einbender's character is so, I hate using this word, but so super woke
that
she's too easily offended, maybe. Mm. So there's just the fantastic dynamic of the two of them constantly trying to meet in the middle and never quite making it all the way there. It's like just glimmers of, if you could just put your own kind of egos aside, this could be the perfect, you know, marriage of comedy. But there's just, they haven't quite worked it out. And it is fun watching them back and forth over the course of the season constantly change in like little increments of getting better, becoming better because of each other, but then getting worse because they treat each other so badly.
Yeah, and now people who might have seen the first two seasons will remember Jean Smart's daughter as well, who's a deeply damaged individual. She pops up again.
She does. That's Caitlin Olsen, I think her name is. She's also fantastic in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
She has another show out at the minute called High Potential that's on Disney Plus. Brilliant on that as well. She is a fantastic comedy actress, and in this she's a little bit tragic, but then she gets the spotlight in the roast episode. And oh my god, the jokes, even Jean Smart's character is taken aback by how funny her jokes are in this. So previously she's been kind of the butt of a joke all the time, but in this, to actually get to serve it back and be hilarious, brilliant.
It was such a relief that that standard held up. They've made a fourth series, is that right?
Season four has been filmed and I think will arrive on HBO in the States at the end of this year. So fingers crossed now that we have, I think there was a rights issue and that's why it was Prime Video, but now it's Sky and now here, because Sky now is obviously so intrinsically linked with HBO in the States. I think we'll get it much sooner rather than having to wait the 8 or 9 months we have to wait for this one.
And have they said, because much as I love this, I want it to come to an end as well, rather than they're dragging it out.
I would say 5 and they're done.
Yeah.
That would be my educated guess.
Yeah, let's hope so. Right, our final show is Surviving Black Hawk Down. All 3 episodes available on Netflix right now. Here's a clip.
October 3rd, 1993, Somalia.
Long time ago.
It was the most violent thing I've ever witnessed.
Destruction everywhere.
I took my camera and I pressed record.
Right. People will, I suppose, remember the Ridley Scott movie, which was just a bullet-a-thon. In my opinion, it was actually pretty racist, that film. So does this tell a more balanced story, perhaps?
It sure does, yeah. I think you're not too far off the mark with Black Hawk Down. It was, looking back on research for this, I didn't realise it was released only a few months after 9/11.
Mm.
So it was very much released in a certain mentality in America. And there was American soldiers sent over to a foreign country and they're going in to save the day, and people fought back, and that was not good for America.
Yeah.
How basically that movie felt to me like, how dare another nation want to fight back?
Yes.
When all they were doing was trying to help. Which, you know, so in this, it does give a more balanced view. It does actually tell stories from the Mogadishu, from the Somalian side as well. So, and we also get first-hand interviews with some of the survivors of the Black Hawk Down crew. And it is way more balanced. It does spread across. It's three separate episodes. Each one's an hour long. It's pretty much into the second episode when everything goes to hell for everyone in it. So it does take its time, giving us the kind of very complicated political background. There was a point even where the Somalians were very open to the Americans coming over because there was real turmoil happening there. But instead, I think what the documentary is telling us is that the Americans overplayed their hand and made things much, much worse, which then made the locals want them gone because they were not the solution to the problem. They were just kind of, they were a catalyst. They were petrol on the fire.
Yeah.
So then when things started going really badly, it was everyone in the neighborhood were like, they can't be a part of this because they're gonna burn this whole place down trying to get these American soldiers. So it is intricate and interesting and emotional at times, and far more balanced. And yet, like, I think even if you think you know the story based on the 2001 movie, there is a lot more here to digest and properly think about, I think. And again, quite timely, considering everything else that's going on in the world right now.
Like, yeah.
I think it is important to do your best to get a balanced argument and get both sides of a conversation and not just assume because of a movie like Black Hawk Down that's just the way things went down.
Yeah. And the people who survived it, because as you say, it was an extraordinarily complicated political picture in Mogadishu and Somalia at the time, but the hubris that with which they thought, we'll just kind of truck in there and arrest a few people.
Yeah.
For those people who survived it, how did they feel about that? Or did they answer that question?
They do a little bit. Like, it's very clear from the start of the first episode that these were, as much as they're, you know, huge jacked American soldiers going in, they are basically boys. They're like they're late teens, early 20s. Like one of the very first lines, and it'll stick with me, was the first time I was shot, I still wasn't legally allowed to drink alcohol. Like, that is mind blowing. Like, yeah. how have you put the future of the political balance of an entire region in the hands of someone who's not legally allowed to drink it? So yeah, it is. There is a lot of just like stuff to properly process off the back of the interviews with the survivors and their memories of just knowing how little they really knew about the situation they were going into.
Yeah. Yeah, does sound fascinating. Right, those three shows are Paradise. The first four episodes are available right now on Disney Plus. New episodes are every Tuesday. Hack Season 3, all three seasons are now available on Now TV. And Surviving Black Hawk Down, all three episodes available on Netflix right now. Rory Cashin, thanks a million.
Thank you.
As ever.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
Psoriatic arthritis symptoms can be unpredictable.
I had joint pain and I couldn't move like I used to.
I needed relief.
I got Cosentyx.
It helped me move better.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for people 2 years of age and older with active psoriatic arthritis. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your rheumatologist about Cosentyx.